As you can tell, usually when we keep the lights off, we do things a little different. And I was struggling. Monday, I was studying through Jeremiah. I think we're in 46. Is that right? Yeah. Going through Jeremiah book by book, line by line, verse by verse. And I was studying, and it was just, it wasn't coming easy. And I've learned just in the short year of doing this that sometimes when that happens, it's because the Lord wants to do something else. So I was kind of like, as I was studying, just like asking the Lord, Lord, do you want to do something else? Do you want me to teach something else? What do you want to do? And Tuesday morning, we have our staff devos, and Stephen was sharing this great word from Psalm 103, and like as quickly as he was sharing it, like I felt strongly, like the Lord just pressed a part of that chapter on my heart and said, like, I just want you to focus on this. Just do this on Thursday night. And so that's where we're going to be tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 103. And what Psalm 103 is, it's a Psalm of David. And it's basically, if you guys, hopefully, I think it's going to be up on the screen up there. There you go. If you guys don't have flip phones or phones where you can actually read it or whatnot with a light, you can follow it there. But it's a Psalm of David, and it's basically a psalm where he's kind of, in a sense, talking to himself. He's exhorting himself to do something. And sometimes, like, I think my job as a teacher is to teach you the word of God, but, and you guys have heard me say this before, it's to equip you to do what the Lord has called you to do. So I think one of the best ways to do that sometimes is to actually give you that opportunity to be a doer of the word, right? We don't want to just receive it and never do it. We want to be doers of what it says. And this is one of those passages in the Bible where David, very much what he's doing in this is something that we should do for ourselves sometimes. So I'm going to go ahead and get in it. I'm actually going to read the whole thing, and then we'll pray, and then we'll start breaking it down and kind of responding just to what David's telling us to do here. So it says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Lord, we ask for your blessing again on this word. As we kind of go through this and kind of expound on it piece by piece, Lord, I pray that you just really minister to our hearts and our souls, Lord. This great picture or example David sets, where he's blessing you, not knowing the circumstances that are going on in his life, but those not mattering, him basically telling himself, I'm going to bless the Lord because I have all these reasons to. And what a good example for us, Lord, that sometimes it is just good to bless you, to praise you, because certainly you have done all of these things for us that David talks about here and so much more. There is not a shortage of things to bless you with, Lord. So we want to spend an evening just kind of being a doer of what you show us in your word and following David's example and praising you, Lord, and blessing you. And so be with us as we do that, Lord. Lead us in this time together. Amen. So in verse 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So he repeats the same thing twice in there and saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And we know kind of in Hebrew writings, like that, there was a point of emphasis. If you say something twice, it's like really trying to get that point across. He's saying, "Bless the Lord." And basically what he's saying here is he's saying, come on, soul. He's like, you need to bless the Lord because you have all these things to be thankful for that God has done in your life. God has been nothing but good to you. And all of that, all of those things, they are the reason why you should be, it doesn't matter what's going on, you should be blessing him. Now, when it says bless, the literally what it means there is to convey prosperity or happiness to someone else. So when David's saying bless the Lord, what it's saying is that he has the capability or to bring the Lord happiness. Did you know that? That we have the capability to bring the Lord happiness. Think about that. Does that make any sense whatsoever that you have the ability to make the sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that just always has been, set apart like no other. You have the ability to make him happy. Let that trip in your mind a little bit, okay? Because that should trip you out. And he goes on in verse 2 to say how to do that. Basically, he says, to bless the Lord. Basically, to remember and acknowledge all of the benefits you have because of God in your life. All of the good things that he has done for you, to acknowledge those. That is how you make God happy. That is how you can bless him. Amen? Amen. That's what he's saying here. And the fact that he's reminding himself not to forget about the benefits means that he would have the tendency to do that, that he had to be intentional about not forgetting all of the good things God had done in his life. Otherwise, he would forget. And does that ring a bell to you? Isn't it so easy in the middle of the craziness of our lives? Let's just look at today, all right? In the craziness of the days some of us had and just raising kids, in the craziness of our jobs, maybe in real legit difficulties and trials and struggles you're going through, to, in a sense, forget what God has done, all of the good that you have in the Lord. Isn't it easy to get your eyes on those circumstances and forget all of God's goodness? Interactive. Isn't it easy? Yes. It happens to me all the time. And what David's saying here is we have to be intentional sometimes. I mean, when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling discouraged, when we have anxiety, it's because you're not remembering God's faithfulness. It's you're not remembering his goodness in your life. And it's at those times that you have to be, like David's saying here, you have to be intentional, not just outwardly, not just half-heartedly, not coming in here thinking about the things going on in your life when just repeating words up on a screen, but in a sense from your innermost being, just, I don't care. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to bless him for all of the good things he has done in my life, all of the good things he is going to do in my life because he's told me about them. Amen? And that's what he's talking about here. And now we're going to see him. He's going to list these benefits, and we're going to go through. There's five of them. Five of these things that he acknowledged that were good in his life, that were a benefit of his relationship with God. And every single one of them is something that we've experienced too in our life. The first one being, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquity or your sin. Now, this is the first and foremost, most important benefit. And I want you to notice that every single one of these starts with who, because this has nothing to do with you. This is God who has done this for you. It's all God. By his grace, by his love for you, because he's just good. And he loves you. As crazy as that sounds, I don't even love myself. God loves me. And so the first thing you need to know is that he's forgiven your iniquity. If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have understood, hopefully, that we are sinners, that not one of us is perfect in here, that we are all guilty of disobeying God's word, because you can't help it before you know God. You're born with this nature to do what's wrong. I've used the example before, but you see it in kids. And you, if you're being honest, you've experienced in adults in that as soon as somebody tells you not to do something, you want to do it, right? It's the same thing inside of you, that when you see that wet paint sign, do not touch wet paint, you're like, oh, I want to see if it's wet. Or if I tell you right now, don't think of purple elephants, you're probably thinking of purple elephants. There's a nature inside of us that just wants to do the opposite of what we're told. We're born with that. And so God says, yeah, you guys are all guilty of sin. You've all done, not one person's perfect. And here's the thing, you can't help that. You're born with that nature. And so I wasn't willing, God was not willing to stand back and watch you eternally destroy yourself, because basically that sin, the wages of sin is death, physical death. Yes, it's come into this world because of sin, but also basically he's talking overall about eternal separation from God, spiritual death, Because you can't have a holy, perfect, righteous God in the presence of something that's not perfect. And so the only way to know God, to have a relationship with him, which you were created for, you were created by Jesus for Jesus to know him. And the only way to have that relationship, to restore that relationship, was for a perfect sacrifice to be made. And the only way that perfect sacrifice, the only person capable of doing that, was Jesus Christ, God's son, who was fully God and fully man, but he came and lived this perfect life. And I'm sorry if this is refresher for you guys, most of you, because probably most of us in here are believers, it should still blow your mind every time you hear it. Amen? But maybe there's some people here that haven't heard this before. But Jesus lived as a man. Even though he is fully God, he lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he willingly, voluntarily died a sinner's death on a cross, taking the punishment, the judgment in wrath that your sin deserved, rightly deserved. You deserved it. It was just punishment. He took that upon himself so you did not have to take that, so that the price for your sin could be paid in full. As Jesus said before he died, it is finished. So that every sin that you've ever done, every sin that you're ever going to do, it's paid for. So that when God sees you, if you receive that through faith, if you believe, and believing involves repentance, you basically acknowledge to God, I am a sinner. I can't save myself. I need you to save me. I surrender my life to you. I acknowledge Jesus did this for me, and it's the only way I can be saved. And I want what you have for me. I don't want what I want anymore. If you do that, if you receive that in faith, you're saved. You're forgiven. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you, starts changing you. Changing you so that you can know the difference between right and wrong according to God's word, and so that you can actually live according to God's word. Do what's right. You're not a slave to your flesh anymore. You can follow what's good for you. That is what it means to be forgiven of your iniquity. And so if you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that's you. And David's saying here, we should bless the Lord for that. Amen? First and foremost, because you couldn't be here in God's presence if that didn't happen. And God did that for you. And it's a gift we receive through faith. And so we're going to take communion first. Because this is something Jesus instituted to remember this very thing. To remember when you take the cracker, you take the bread that he broke and gave to his disciples the night before he was crucified, he told them, remember, my body is broken. We remember that his body was broken, that he took the wrath, that he took the judgment that our sin deserved upon himself, so we didn't have to do it. So you remember that. And you remember that in that, your old nature, your nature where you couldn't help but do what's wrong, it went to the grave with him. It died. And you've been freed from that. Just as he was resurrected, you've been brought into this resurrected life. Instead of being controlled by your flesh, now you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you allow him to control you. Amen? And when you take, yes, amen, whatever kid said that loud, bless you. And you take the cup, you drink the juice, and you remember his blood, because that's what was necessary to pay the price for your sins. And you remember that you've been washed white as snow, as the Bible says. You drink that and you remember that every sin in your life, if you're feeling condemnation, that's not from God. It says in John 3, Jesus came to save, not condemn you. And when God sees you, yes, we still mess up. We don't want to. We're a work in progress. We obviously don't want to live according to our own life, but God is helping that. He's working those things out. He's revealing to us. But when we do mess up, the Bible says you just confess your sins to the Lord and he'll be just to forgive you because they've already been paid for. There is no condemnation because when God sees you, he sees you as perfect through the blood of his son. It wasn't a small price that was paid for you. It was a great price. And because of that, you can understand that you are righteous. You are justified just as if you had no sin. That's how God sees you, through your faith in his son. Amen. So we're going to play a song and we're going to let you take communion on your own. But I really encourage you, don't just hog that bread down and wash it down with some juice, but really think of the significance of what has been done for you. Because you may not think you're something special. Other people may not think you're something special, but the God of the universe thinks you are special. You can tell how special something is, how valuable it is by what someone's paid, what someone is willing to pay for that. And he was willing to pay, allow his son to die. That is the price he paid for you. And you should never question how valuable you are to him. And that's all that matters. Amen. Amen. Lord, we pray as we take these elements, as we do what you told us to do, Lord, in remembrance of you, in the remembrance of the sacrifice you made, Lord, would you kind of in a way just like, you know, I remember the first time I understood this truly when it was explained to me, and it just rocked my world. It changed me forever. And I just could not believe what I was hearing, that you love me despite my sinfulness. And that your desire was for me to be saved through faith in everything that you did, that you would die for me when I didn't deserve it, Lord. It was craziness to me. And Lord, I just pray that in a sense, you'd kind of help us understand it in like a whole new way. Or in like the way when we first heard it, Lord, that it wouldn't be like, we wouldn't be insensitive to it. Because it's out of what you've done for us that we want to willingly just surrender our lives to you and do whatever it is you want, Lord, whatever you say in your word. And if we need to kind of have that rekindled in us, restirred in some way, Lord, I pray you do it right now. Help us understand the magnitude of the love that has been displayed for us. And that you saved us not to live in that old life anymore, but in a much better, abundant, resurrected, changed forever life controlled by your Spirit, Lord. So we give you this time in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the second thing, he first says there in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquity, that's the first benefit. Second benefit he talks about is who heals all your diseases. So kind of talking about a spiritual thing he's healed in us, our sin, and now he's talking about physical. Now, we know one day that we won't have to deal with the fallen nature of our bodies and all of the things that we so don't enjoy, like cold and flu season, or more serious sicknesses and diseases, even just getting old for that matter, starting to feel that turning 40 next week. From 30, it's a proven fact. You've heard me say it before. From 35 after, you're just degenerating. That's a fact. You're dying, basically. Isn't that glorious? Well, it is when you're a Christian, because we know it's just one day sooner to being with the Lord. Amen? And when we're with him, we'll be like him, and we won't be in these fallen bodies, and we won't have to deal with this anymore. So one day, we will truly all be healed. But in the meantime, it's God, as it says here, that heals all your diseases. Now, he uses lots of different means for that. He uses doctors. He uses medicine. Sometimes he miraculously does it, but all of it is done by him. Amen? And that's who we should be looking to heal us, all right? And we know that he's like the ultimate doctor. I mean, God's the God that spoke everything in this world into existence in 6 days. Surely he can speak your sickness or your ailment or disease, and he can just make it go away if he wants. We always pray according to his will, and we always know that however he answers, it's going to be for our good. We've been talking about that at length for the last couple weeks. That's where our faith is, in making those requests to him and then trusting him that however you answer, Lord, I know you're going to be good. But we'd be foolish not to ask for him to heal, right? And there was a verse that was on my mind as I was praying about this. James 5:14 says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Basically what that says, it's just what it reads. If there's somebody that's sick in the church, somebody that's dealing with some type of ailment, some type of disease, some type of physical degenerative thing, something, you're supposed to go to the elders of the church and have us pray for you and anoint you with oil. There's a lot of speculation on why that anointing oil is there. We don't know for sure. Surely the power is not in the oil. It's in the God that's doing the healing, right? But we just had an awesome example of this, a testimony, and I've seen it more than a couple times where people have done this in faith. They just listen to God's word. They're obedient to it. They come to us, and we pray for them. And we had a brother that was dealing with a major disease, sickness type thing, and he did this. And he was seeking medical treatment at the same time, but in his own words, he'd say, from that moment, he had to humble himself to do that, and from that moment on, he started feeling better. And now the doctors see no sign of that illness in him. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to, I guarantee at some point in your life you've been sick. And if you're not sick anymore, it's the Lord that healed you from that. However he did that, whether that was with Plexus or antibiotics or essential oils, whatever. He healed you. Amen? And so we're going to spend this time just where you at, quietly praying or blessing the Lord for that, praising him for the healing he's been faithfully to do over and over again in your life. And if you're somebody that's actually dealing with sickness, dealing with something right now, some type of ailment or something, we're going to have the elders up front here available to pray with you. And so I'm going to encourage you, if that's you, to be obedient to the word, to step out in faith so that we can just do what the word says and anoint you with oil and pray with you. And just expect the Lord to do whatever he does good that's going to be good for you. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and pray to start us out, and then we'll have the elders up here. And just in your own leading, if that's you, come up. Be obedient to the word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just lift up this time. And Lord, we acknowledge first and foremost, we're so thankful we're in your hands because they're the best hands to be in. We know from the moment we placed our faith in you, really we're untouchable. Because the worst thing that can happen to us is that we die, and that's the best thing. Because we just go to be with you forever, for eternity. And it's much better there than it is here, Lord. We're not going to have to deal with the things we deal with because we live in a fallen world as a result of sin. And our bodies just kind of breaking down, if you were susceptible to those things. And we know that wasn't your intent. That wasn't your will. It was through our free will that we chose to disobey and sin entered the world, Lord. And we know you're going to set everything right and restore things one day. So we look forward to that, Lord. But in the meantime, you have told us to bring these things to you. When we're dealing with hard stuff, to commit to you in prayer, to pray, to cast our cares on you because you care for us. And we know that you, anything is possible with you. Just like we've been reading in John 11 with Lazarus, there's nothing that you're not capable of doing, Lord. You've resurrected the dead. So we'd be foolish not to ask you to help us, to heal us, to give us grace. And we trust however you answer is always for our best, Lord, but we just want to be obedient to your word here. And in faith, ask you for help, because we admit we just can't do this stuff. We can't go through this life on our own. So we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So the next point he goes on to say, or the next benefit he points out in verse 4 is who redeems your life from the pit. And if you guys are Bible students, you know the pit's another term that the Bible uses to refer to hell, basically eternal destruction. The word redeem there, the definition of it is gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. So before you were saved by Jesus, you were basically what the Bible calls dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your sin. You were on this road to the pit, on this road to hell that you could not take yourself off of. This road that was going to lead to eternal separation from God, eternal wrath and judgment. And your life was a living hell, if you're being honest, because you were incapable of doing anything good. In your nature, you could only do the things that were wrong, and those things all had harmful consequences for you. Most of us that have been saved look back at our old lives, and we don't miss it at all, because we realize that now. We realize the very things that we thought were making us happy were destroying us slowly. And just making us miserable. But God, he saved you from that. He took you off that eternal path of destruction. He brought you onto an eternal destiny of spending eternity with him in heaven. That's something to be excited about, right? That's what he's getting at here, who redeems your life. He bought you at a huge price and being willing to die for you. So he bought you so that you're his. And so nothing could separate you from him. And you got to start experiencing the benefits of that resurrected eternal life the moment you placed your faith in him, because things changed. He gave you a spirit, like I said earlier, that allows you to live according to his word and do what's good and what leads to like satisfaction and joy and peace. Like all these benefits you get to experience, it's because of God. And so what we're going to do right now, in line with what David's saying here, we're going to bless God. We're going to thank him for the freedom we've been given through our faith in Jesus. Amen. And here's the thing, I'd encourage you guys. He didn't save you to keep living in that bondage, that old man lifestyle. And if you're struggling with some of those things that you know are wrong according to God's word, sin, that's not his intent for you. And you've been freed from it. You've probably heard this before. I know because I've said it. God's commandments are his enablement. So if he tells you to do something, you can do it, not by your power and might, but by his spirit that is inside of you. And if you came here believing otherwise, that somehow you just couldn't help doing that thing that you know is wrong, that is a lie from the enemy that you have believed. And God would want to remind you, no, you can leave here in the victory that he won for you and walk in that new life. And I encourage you guys, if that rings true to you, do business with God in this place. Come before him. However that looks, if you want to come up to the altar and just basically come before God in an act of humility and leave that thing, whatever it is, acknowledging that I've been freed from this. I don't have to do this anymore, and I'm not going to. Not by my power, by your power, Lord. I need your help. You can do that now. For the rest of us that have been freed, and we know those things we've been freed from, spend this time praising him, blessing him for freeing you from those things. Amen? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the freedom you've given us. We thank you for redeeming us from the pit, as David says here, buying us, paying a great price, Lord, so that we didn't have to continue down that path of slowly destroying ourselves, of ultimately leading to being eternally separated from you, from saving us from that destiny and bringing us into a life where our inheritance is basically all eternity spent with you. And as Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, inheriting every spiritual blessing from the moment we placed our faith in you. If there's a blessing from you, we've inherited it. Lord, there is so much there to be thankful for. If we're being honest, we see the things in our life that you saved us from, those things that we didn't even know were wrong at the time, but were not bringing us any type of contentment, no satisfaction, that were just leading to us being dissatisfied and in this endless cycle of going from one thing to another and in the process just hurting ourselves. You saved us from that, and we are so thankful for it, Lord. And if somehow we've bought into the lie of thinking that we still have to do those things, or that we need those things, or we can find some type of fulfillment in those things, Lord, I pray right now you remind us of the truth of your word and of how empty those things are and how we've been freed from them and we don't have to keep doing them. That we don't have to somehow conjure something up in our own strength and might to do it. No, you've freed us, and by your power, by your spirit who's inside of us, we can walk in that freedom. That is what you intend for us. So whatever, however we came here tonight, we can leave in the freedom you've won for us. And I pray for that for my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. So he goes on here with the fourth thing. And he says, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. So David is saying basically, bless the Lord for crowning you, like wearing it on your head, consistent, continuous love and mercy. That's what you have as a child of God. That's what God shows you from the moment you place your faith in him, nothing but love and mercy. Isn't that crazy? That's what you can expect. If there's something happening in your life, you don't have to wonder. It's out of God's love and mercy. You know what mercy means? The definition for mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. See, you deserve punishment for your sin, but that's not what God's giving you. He paid the price for that sin so that instead he could show you mercy and love and kindness and compassion. And so what we're going to do now is this kind of one at a time. We're going to take some time where we can individually, just loud enough where everyone can hear and agree, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to bless him for different ways he's shown us love and mercy in our lives. Amen. And we could go on all night doing this, so I'll cut it off eventually. But just as you feel led, as the Lord prompts you, as something comes to your mind, just go ahead and say it and share it with us. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Nobody's going to judge you for that. And if they are, they're in sin, so don't worry about it. So the last point I want to end on here, verse 5, he says, who satisfies you with good. Bless the Lord who satisfies you with good. Again, many of us before we were saved knew or know that we were much like the Rolling Stones. We could not get no satisfaction. All right? I know that's corny. Sorry. It's even before my time, but it seemed right. But no, we were in this endless cycle of going after stuff in this world and being constantly disappointed, unfulfilled. Sometimes we can even still get that way as believers, kind of going after these other things when all along it was only Jesus and what he had that was good, that could satisfy us the way we need to be satisfied. And that's one of the things when I first got saved that I realized how real Jesus was, because the first time, I didn't even know how to put it in the words, but I felt content. I felt satisfied. And even when I stray off and kind of go after the stuff in this world, he has a way of always gently reminding me, like, you're not going to find what you're looking for in that thing. You just need more of me. And there's no such thing as too much Jesus. Amen? And I like what he goes on to say here, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, when we choose to bless the Lord for all of these good things he's done, all of the benefits, all the things, it has a sense of renewing you, right? I mean, maybe some of us came here tonight feeling discouraged and anxious and tired and weary. But this is like why David is giving us this example, because it's not meant to just do here. When we're feeling like that, we need to intentionally, with everything we got, bless the Lord. Remember his goodness in our lives, and it has a way of renewing you like an eagle. Just like an eagle kind of molts its feathers every year, no matter how old it is, it still looks like youthful after that. Eagles just kind of like endlessly soar in the air, like they have everlasting energy. It's kind of the idea he's getting at, is like when we bless the Lord, it can like well up this joy inside of us, this peace inside of us that wasn't there before, because maybe we were caught up in other, like I said, other things, our daily grinds, the trials we're going through. And so you have to be intentional about doing this often, just as David sets this example for us, when you're feeling like that, because it's not going to happen accidentally. And the reality is you really shouldn't have to think too hard to remember all of the benefits that you have in the Lord. Amen? And he'll be faithful to kind of renew your spirit as you kind of remind yourself of those things. So as we close in one last song, we should just be praising him with everything we got here. Amen? After just remembering these benefits we have in the Lord, the one that's forgiven all our sin, the one that's healed us from all our diseases or going to eventually heal us from all our diseases, the one that redeemed us from the pit, right? The one that crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, the one who truly has satisfied us like nothing else and no one else ever could. There is no reason why we shouldn't leave here with the joy, with your joy being full as the Lord intends it to be. Amen. Lord God, as we sing this last song, we acknowledge you are our joy and our strength. Lord, we spend a small fraction of time tonight just remembering, acknowledging your goodness, and we could be here for days on end doing this, Lord. As your word says, if there's any good thing in our lives, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. If there's something good in our life, it's from you. And we acknowledge you've been nothing but good to us. So Lord, we want to have that right perspective. Even when we don't feel like it, we want to be like David and just tell ourselves to bless you with everything we have, to remember all of your benefits, everything you've done in our lives, everything you've promised to do. Help us be doers of your word and do this so that we can be renewed. We can have the peace and joy that you intend for each of us. Let us not let the enemy rob that from us. Or let ourselves live in that old despair that you saved us out of before we knew you, Lord. I pray for that for your people. And as we sing this last song, may it bless you. Just like David was saying, Lord, may it make you happy as we acknowledge these truths about you to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.